That's Andy. I'm Jeff. Dan Menigan on my right, on Andy's left, Meredith behind the glass. 216-474-0092 is the number to join us. The Ohio State Buckeyes will play Ohio State Buckeye Marcus Freeman and his Fighting Irish of Notre Dame in the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
No. Nope.
I mean, here's a former Buckeye who coached for the Buckeyes, coaching Notre Dame against the Buckeyes.
Is it any stranger than having a former Ohio State quarterback going up against you?
No, it's not. And that was strange.
That was strange.
I must tell you, and I've not hidden the fact that I'm not a diehard Ohio State fan because I went to a different school, and I follow that school more closely than I do Ohio State. That said, I have been pulling for the Buckeyes like crazy because I want to see Ryan Day just thrive. I think Ryan's a good coach, and he's obviously had some trouble with Michigan. And it's baffled me how the diehard Ohio State fans who are locked into the 1960s and 70s college football model, 80s, 90s as well, can't get away from that and think it's all about winning one game on the schedule. And I get that it's a big deal and it's your rival. Do you think the Ravens or the Steelers, when they played the other night, were thinking, well, we might win this game, but we lost to the Browns?
No, but it's totally different.
I know it is, except for one thing. It's just one game on the schedule, and it no longer prevents you from reaching your ultimate goal. It's an NFL type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you have 12 teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, you have, 14 teams in the playoffs.
Right.
It's the same type of deal now.
Right.
And one loss won't prohibit you from winning a national title.
Two losses may not stop you from winning a national
title. Right. Yeah. And I think Buckeye fans need to rethink things a little bit.
Well, I think the rethinking started, you know, in the 90s. Because even in the 90s, as much as you hated Michigan, my favorite team is Ohio State and whoever's playing Michigan. If you thought about it in the 90s, that was pretty stupid. You needed Michigan to win every game and hope that both teams would come into that last game undefeated so you could give yourself a shot at a national title. And that's when I think everything started to change a little bit. Now, the pressure of beating Michigan still remains and will remain probably till the end of eternity because that's what makes college football great, rivalries. It doesn't matter if it's, John Carroll, Mount Union, John Carroll, Baldwin-Wallace, Mount Union. Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? It's Ohio State, Michigan. And it's just, it is what it is, and it's one of the things that makes college football great. But the landscape has definitely changed, and I think all the fans that were completely, just off their rocker when Ohio State lost to Michigan, if Ohio State would have got knocked out of the playoffs, then I understand. And then Ryan's job probably was on the line. And if they would have showed up for the first preseason game, or the first playoff game, against Tennessee and laid an egg, you know, maybe you'd probably be still talking about Ryan Day not. But he has rose to the occasion. His team has rose to the occasion. They are playing the best football of any team in the land right now. They are. There's no question. Even with a close game against Texas that ended up going 28-14, I think we all thought that the game was going to look exactly the way it did against Tennessee and Oregon when they went up 7-0 and everything seemed to be going right. And then Trayvon Henderson picks up a silly personal foul and everything seemed to lose a little focus. And then all of a sudden, boom, Texas comes back and scores. And you're like, uh-oh, maybe this is going to be a game. And then as soon as, the game was on Fox. No, the game was on ESPN. As soon as ESPN put the graphic up about what Ohio State had been doing since Henderson's penalty, shazam, boom, see you later. Aha, touchdown. Man.
How's that go?
I can't do that again. I can only do one. 75 yards.
That's a one-off. That's just beauty.
That's what I thought, too.
He rolls 75 yards.
Did you see the story about the play call on that?
Yeah.
They asked Ryan Day.
That was awesome.
You know, what do you want to do? Do you want to just take a knee and run this thing out? And he went, just run the screen.
So apparently, did you listen more into that bite? He said they run the screen all the time in practice.
And then they never run it in the game.
Never do it in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just run the screen.
Man.
Ryan's in Lakeland, Florida. Hello,
hey, Rhino.
The spring training home of the Tigers.
Hey, Minigan, Andy, Jeff, I want to chime in on the awesome event that's about to happen 1 week and 7 hours and a half from now.
But are you going to be there, by the way?
I am. Wow, there's four different options. Columbus, D.C. for another reason, Atlanta, or here in Tampa with my buddies and family and friends. So I have not, and again, man, Jeff, those tickets, I'm not even exaggerating. They are, no exaggeration, like $1,600 prior taxes, some of them, just for getting in the door. It's a far cry from the Rose Bowl and some other games, obviously the Buckeye, even the Michigan game, which, again, Andy, Jeff, you guys live in Ohio. It's in our culture, the Michigan-Ohio State game. Well, you can't say Ohio State without somehow, some way, Michigan being involved. Same scenario, obviously, with Michigan. When that name's announced, Ohio State's involved. It's just part of the awesome culture that is, obviously, the Midwest football. And Notre Dame's now involved with national championship game. Just a feel-good moment, man, because the South, the Deep South where I'm in, they're narcissistic. They think they're just better than us up there, just football around. And I'm trying to explain to them, you don't understand Northeast Ohio. They just don't. I try to explain Canton. I try to explain everything. But they think their culture here in football, which I like, it is. It is very good out here, high school football all the way up to the pros. But I digress, man. This game coming up, obviously, next week. I mean, it's for all the marbles, man. I mean, if there's any consolation prize, the greatest consolation prize, obviously, is winning the whole darn thing. No way, shape, or form, and especially being at the game about a month ago, just, you're not going to forget it. It's just it's still embedded in our brain. And Ryan
Rhino,
Day
is
and
it
everyone.
Right to look at the national championship as a consolation prize?
I said that multiple times prior leading up to the game, and a lot of people had that conversation. Again, the hypothetical. Would you, and again, this is all ridiculously hypotheticals. Would you rather have a national championship game or beat Michigan? And I can assure you, 80% of the people I spoke to jokingly, kind of half-hearted, said yes, beating that team up north is the goal.
And as a lifelong Ohio State fan, those fans are idiots. I'd rather have the national championship. Sorry.
It was half-hearted. It was joking around. And again, national championships will always be remembered.
Yeah, but some aren't.
Yeah.
Some
aren't. This game in particular, the spread, obviously Vegas has us just dominating. And again, on paper, that's fine. But again, I just, when you get an opportunity to play a team for a national championship game, you're going to put everything out there. And again, Freeman is just a very, very savvy coach. He's just that guy that probably would have taken Ryan Day's gig, hypothetically, if we would have lost to Tennessee.
Still talking about him getting the Bears gig now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the dude's real. He knows what he's doing. He's a likable coach. He's smart. And again, I digress from no to lame because I'm not a fan of them. But again, he's a Buckeye, heart true and through.
Rhino, anyway, thank you, buddy.
Gentlemen. Thanks, Rhino.
Have a great day. Thanks.
All right.
Dano, something happened here, folks.
Yeah, we got something. Mike McCarthy, expected not to return to Dallas, is now set to become a free agent, according to multiple reports. Two sides engaged in no discussions about a new deal, and Mike McCarthy is expected to be a candidate in Chicago or New Orleans. So Mike McCarthy not returning to the Dallas Cowboys.
Does he get hired?
Yes. Well, you guys are saying, oh, no, his contract's up, right? So they don't owe him any more money or anything.
No,
right,
his deal's up. If I'm the Chicago Bears, I hire him. Yeah. Did a nice job with quarterbacks. And he had Aaron Rodgers, had Dak Prescott. Both played well with him. I know Dan's not a big fan. If I'm Chicago, I hire him. If I'm New Orleans, I really hire him. He's a good, solid coach. And there's a lot to be said for that.
I think working for Jerry Jones would be a nightmare.
I think it would be, too.
Nightmare.
Any coach whose post-game press conference is more important than yours, if you're the head coach, that's the owner you want to stay away from. Is there any other coach who does owner who does a post-game? I don't believe there is.
I don't know of any, do you?
No. If you're the Cowboys, who are you going to hire?
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking about.
Bringing in Dion? Is that what you were just thinking?
No, it's not what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I'm thinking you wait till June 2nd, and you bring in Bill Belichick.
I don't know if I can think of a worse matchup than Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones. Bill doesn't like anything out there.
I know.
Right?
I know.
And Jerry wants it all out there.
Maybe Dion then. Wouldn't you think that would be a...
I think that could be a nightmare, too.
Of course it could be a nightmare, but that's Dallas.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's interesting. Well, they're looking, and they're looking now.
Trying to think.
Mike Vrabel's off the board for him.
Yeah.
They'll find somebody. They always do.
Tomlin's not going anywhere. I can't see Tomlin going there, though, even if he got let go from Pittsburgh. That's not going to happen. I'm just trying to think of other guys that might be. Nick Saban? Take a run at it?
I can't imagine Nick wanting to put up with that either.
I can't imagine Nick going back to the NFL either.
Jerry's known for a little off-the-wall hires, though.
Here
comes Barry Switzer.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever thought Barry Switzer would work. He did, as long as he had Jimmy Johnson's team.
Pete Carroll?
That's interesting.
I'm just looking at guys that are out there.
Yeah, that could possibly work. That one might possibly
work. Brian Flores?
Maybe. Dallas is looking for a head coach. New England has a head coach, and he's the guy who was just working here not too long ago. Mike Vrabel to the Patriots. I love it for him. I don't know if I'm crazy about it for the rest of the AFC, and I'll tell you why coming up on Baskin and Phelps. My buddy Jeff in Cleveland's a diehard Cowboy fan. He already said John Gruden. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah, that would be interesting. Was it John Makota, who used to write for the big Dallas newspaper, now he writes for The Athletic? He said the top coaching candidates, Ben Johnson, Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Flores, Aaron Glenn, Joe Brady, Liam Cohn, Kellen Moore.
Yeah, bring Kellen Moore back.
Pete Carroll, John Gruden, Ron Rivera.
Okay, so they've really narrowed down the list.
Well, that's his list. I mean...
See, a Jerry Jones hire would be Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
Does it get your headlines?
No, that's why.
I look at this, Cliff Kingsbury or Kellen Moore.
You're the Dallas Cowboys. You don't need headlines.
Who do you think?
Dan?
Out of that list.
It's Jerry. He wants to go big game hunting. I can't see him going something small. Gruden makes a lot of sense. Gruden makes a lot of sense because he'll go big game hunting.
And memories are short.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know
Gruden when he's... Somebody's going to hire Gruden and people are going to scream for about a week. And you remember he got caught up in all those emails and said some things he shouldn't have said in an email.
Right.
And people will scream for about a week.
Yeah.
And then he's the head coach of the fill in the blanks.
You're right. People scream for a week.
I think he'd be a great hire in Dallas, personally. But I thought Mike McCarthy did a nice job there.
He did a job.
Dan, you just don't like the guy.
I just don't see the hype. I think
I'm not saying he's the greatest coach ever. I think he did a good job.
There's a Mike McCarthy ceiling that you will hit. And you will find yourself in a position where you're looking around going, can I do better than Mike McCarthy?
Last 3 years before this year when Dak Prescott got hurt, in his 5 years in Dallas, 6-10, 12-5, 12-5, 12-5, 7-10. No, he didn't have success in the playoffs. One team wins it every year. It wasn't the Dallas Cowboys. You know why? Because Dallas needs a better GM. That's why. Oh, wait a minute. That's Jerry Jones. Okay, never mind. See, that's the one thing that could keep Gruden from going there. Wait a minute, I'm going to let this oil man pick my players?
Yeah, that's true. How about a guy who won the NFC East 3 times?
Joe Gibbs, too busy with NASCAR.
No. Was the NFL Coach of the Year.
That doesn't mean anything. Ask Browns fans.
Was a 3-time Super Bowl champion.
Got Dan to laugh again.
Once went to school on Somme Center Road.
Who is someone who's never been in my kitchen?
Who is that?
Whoever you're describing right now.
Jason Garrett. How about the return of Jason Garrett?
Nothing against Jason. He should have kept Mike McCarthy.
I was watching him last night, and I was like wondering, I wonder if he's ever going to coach again.
Yeah, Jerry's going to go big game hunting. I can't see him going coordinators. I can't see him being the second choice of anybody. He's going to go big game hunting.
Garrett had the longest, second longest tenure of a Cowboys head coach after Tom Landry. It's pretty amazing.
In fact, I'm really excited to see Nick Saban comes to Dallas for a conversation. Like, I'm already, that ESPN headline is going to hit. We're all going to go nuts for 48 hours. He's going to go big game hunting. Remember, this is the guy that brought Bill Parcells back. Like, this is going to be big game.
He brought in Barry Switzer, who came out of nowhere, but was a big name at one point.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to go big game hunting.
That makes me think Barry. That makes Barry Sanders. No, how about Deion Sanders?
Coach Prime.
Deion Sanders?
I don't. Yes, I don't know how that fits.
Trying to think of like other. No, I'm not even going to say it. I almost uttered something I can't believe I was going to say because it did. It failed so bad. There's no way he'll never get a shot in the NFL.
Cough, Ryan Day. Cough.
Urban Meyer.
No, cough.
Urban Meyer.
Yeah, there's no way he gets another chance in the NFL. No way.
I would think not.
No way. Can't see it.
And it's this point. It's, does Urban Meyer want to go into a place where the, or any coach, Andy, who I would think if you don't desperately need the job, I don't know if you want to saddle yourself with Jerry Jones as the owner. Oddly enough, the Cowboys, and I find this one hard to believe, but the perception is that they're cheap. I don't think that, but that's the perception out there. You know, because they're paying a lot of guys a lot of money, but then they're not paying some guys, and the perception is that they're a cheap organization, which I find contradictory to most everything I know about the NFL and with, you know, revenue and everything else, because the Cowboys are the most valuable franchise maybe in pro sports. But the perception is they're cheap.
Hugh Jackson just took a job, didn't he?
Wow.
Hugh Jackson just took a job. Yeah. At Georgia State, right?
I believe that's correct, but I don't totally remember.
Operations court.
Would Mike Vrabel have been a good hire there?
That would have been a big
yes name. And no. Yes, as a head coach. Vrabel no, as in working for Jerry Jones.
Yeah, Vrabel might have had a hard time working for Jerry Jones. I think Vrabel is a great hire for New England, and I think it's bad news for the rest of the AFC because I think he'll get New England on track.
I do too.
And I keep this in mind about Vrabel. Though he's been around a long time, he's only 49 years old. So, I mean, you know, he could have a 15, 20-year run in New England if he so chose. I mean, he could be there a long time if he succeeds. And I think if anybody's primed to succeed in New England, it's probably Mike Vrabel. You know, I like Kevin Stefanski. If the Browns had made the move and changed head coaches, Vrabel would have clearly been the guy I think that everybody in town would have wanted to be the head coach.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't you think?
Yes. Or Ryan Day after he wins the championship, even though they'll bring up the Michigan stuff.
That's really true.
How many times was Trestle? You know what? How many times did people say they want to Trestle here?
And it would have worked out great because Ryan Day could lose to the Steelers every year and win the Super Bowl, and nobody would care.
No, we'd all be mad. He didn't beat the Steelers. I don't want that Super Bowl. Throw the Lombardi in the lake. You didn't beat Pittsburgh this year. What? Lost to the Steelers twice, but won the Super Bowl. That doesn't count.
I think it's interesting that the Cowboys get into this late, though. Not that too many guys have been hired yet. You know, Chicago's still looking. Other teams are still looking. Jacksonville's still looking. I mean, it hasn't progressed yet, but the Cowboys are going to jump in. And if you can deal with Jerry Jones, is it the primo job opening out there now?
I would think. What are we up against? The Bears? I mean, what else is a
New
primo?
Orleans, Chicago, the Raiders, Jacksonville. I think I'm missing one.
There isn't a glitzy job out there. Really, Chicago probably is it, don't you think?
I think Chicago is a great, first of all, it's a great sports town. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you have an owner, you have ownership that'll just sit there and let you do your gig. You know, as long as you do it okay. And then you have Caleb Williams and some talent. Nate's in West Salem. Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Welcome, Nate.
Good afternoon, guys. Hey, swinging back to Coach Stefanski. If he wants to start calling the plays again, I'm fine with that. I'm not a huge fan of his play calling, but it certainly was better than Dorsey. So if he wants to do that, that's great. But I think the thing that we need to have going forward, which we haven't had for 4 years with him, is someone to actually honestly say, I am calling the plays, as opposed to leaving it wishy-washy and unknown. I don't know another team where it's unknown about who's calling the plays. If Coach Stefanski wants to be the offensive coordinator, that's great. But he has to actually come out and say, I'm taking over play calling for the Cleveland Browns. That's my opinion.
Nate, thank you very much.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we'll see that. You know, will it happen? Will it not happen? We'll see. It depends on who they hire, and, you know, is that what it takes to get an offensive coordinator in here? And again, did he like not calling the plays? Maybe he liked it, Andy.
I don't know. Well, of course, I just can't see it.
Neither do I. But
here's why I say I don't know. I think he's pretty good at it.
I do too.
If he wasn't good at it, then maybe he'd be like, oh man, I'm so glad to have that burden gone. But I can't see it. It would take someone who was a former head coach that they had to swoon over to bring in to let them call plays next year. At least that's what I think. And so, or someone that, you know, Kevin truly trusts. How many more coordinators can they let go? How many more before you change the head coach?
Well, none.
We said that going into this year.
I didn't.
I did.
Okay, I didn't.
I mean, how many? You've already replaced all of them in the last couple years.
Next year's the year. If Kevin and Andrew Berry don't win, or at least jump up to like 8 or 9 wins and show real progress, they're not going to be back. I mean, that's just pro sports. We know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're Jerry Jones, what did you think last night watching your former defensive coordinator win a playoff game, now as head coach of the Washington Commanders? I mean, Dan Quinn sat there in Dallas as the DC and was loving life, passed up opportunities to stay in Dallas, and now a year after he's gone and winning for your, at one time, arch rival, now you fire your coach. Or at least you don't come to terms with your coach and he moves on. Dan Quinn would have been the perfect guy there, but he's a little busy now.
True.
Getting ready for the next round.
Can I make a statement to make someone's head explode?
Oh, good. Is it mine?
No. It's Meredith. Hey, Meredith.
Uh-oh.
Did the Commanders get lucky last night?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just curious.
Don't start. We don't have an hour.
I'm going to say yes and no.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Well, because here's the thing. I don't think that what Jaden Daniels did was luck. I think what Zane Gonzalez did was luck.
No, he didn't. He missed it. I mean, he didn't miss it. It went through.
The doink went the right way. It could have easily gone the wrong way.
Did your heart stop for a second?
Yeah, I might have like died for about 12 seconds and then revived when they said the kick is good.
As long as you put the kick on the inside part of the goalposts,
it's all that matters.
It's going to go through. Yeah. You're good.
Maybe somebody was looking out for Washington. It's been so long.
Can I make Browns fans mad?
No, don't do that today. It's not Browns Therapy Monday.
I had to double check because I didn't realize. You know, Baker Mayfield led the NFL in interceptions.
Mm-hmm. They said it like 15 times during the
and
game last night.
Fumbles.
Time. Yeah. That fumble is going to haunt him for the entire offseason.
It's too bad because he did play well this year. But those two things, and it just goes to show you got to protect that football. And it jumped up and bit him at the absolute wrong time last
and then
night.
The ball control for Washington at the end of the game was the difference, I thought. I mean,
Clock management. They like that was really, really smart clock management
up what
at the end
saying.
Of that game.
Yeah, ate up 441 and went down and kicked the field goal.
Yep.
Almost didn't, but did.
But like they
with
said.
With a former Browns kicker.
Which former Brown did you want to win there, Jeff?
I was the kicker.
Both weren't they? Didn't we have Chase McLaughlin for a while?
Oh, yeah.
Too? Yeah, so.
We could put together a team of former Browns kickers. Chase McLaughlin, Zane Gonzalez, Austin Seibert. The list goes on and on, which is why, Andy,
if we're playing 3-on-3 basketball, we're in great shape.
It's why you don't invest in a kicker or draft one. Jamel White, Browns running back, former, going to join us at 1 o'clock. Cavs lost last night.
Shh.
The Cavs lost last night.
I'm just going to find out.
Never fear. Remain calm. All is well. Except for one thought I'm going to share with you next.
Oh.
It's Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.
Doom and gloom straight up.
Take a look at these standings in the NBA's Eastern Conference, and you see the Cleveland Cavaliers in first place. Record of 33-5. Stunningly good. They have a 5.5 game lead on the Boston Celtics. As if that's not enough, that you have an 8-game lead on the third place team, the New York Knicks. And then the Orlando Magic, 11.5 games back. So the Cavaliers very comfortably in first place right now in the Eastern Conference, still have the best record overall in the NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder a game behind, their 32-6. Mm. And the Cavs have the Thunder coming up.
Yeah.
But last night, the Cavaliers not good in the second half against the Indiana Pacers. It's easy to say, and may I say accurate to say.
Okay.
You're going to have that from time to time.
Of course you are. It's the NBA.
You're going to have that from time to time. The Cavaliers were outscored 68-40 in the second half last night. 68-40. They were outscored 37-18 in the third quarter. Should you be concerned, Cav fans, about this game?
First time all season they didn't get to 100, right?
The yes. answer is
yes.
You absolutely should not be concerned. And yes, that's the first time they didn't score 100 points.
Mm.
You should not be concerned.
Okay. Why not?
But you should be aware. Okay? Right now, the Cavaliers, and I big, huge lead, right? 5.5 game lead. That's pretty good. They're the number one shooting team in the NBA, Andy, at 50% from the field. They're the number one three-point shooting team in the NBA at 40%. I'm hard-pressed to think that that's going to continue. Now, you might still be the best team because, you know, when it comes to percentages, but you just don't, you're not going to continue to shoot that way. I don't think. I know the offense is getting them really good looks and the way they're moving the ball and the spacing and everything else. They're getting good looks and they're knocking them down. They're doing a really nice job. But you got to figure you're going to slide a little bit in your shooting because it's just outrageously good. And then the other factor is you've got a pretty challenging schedule coming up. You got a lot of teams in like the next 18 games that have winning records right now. And if you just, you know, take a quick glance, some of the teams that are coming up, you'll see, oh boy, that'll be a challenge. Minnesota's on there a couple of times. Philadelphia's on there. If, you know, if Embiid's back, that makes that one a challenge. You're playing Detroit, scrappy with JB.
Mm-hmm.
Boston coming up. You have Oklahoma City coming up. And so I would expect the Cavaliers to lose 3 or 4 games, maybe even more, coming up in this stretch. And that's okay. In fact, you could make the argument that maybe dealing with some of those losses and how to adjust and grow a little bit might even be good for them. But
just say in the next 18, they go 500, right? Which is what they haven't done all season.
Right, which would be a huge downfall for them, except for the fact that, okay, well, that's the NBA.
You're 42-14, even if you go 500 over your next 18 games.
Yeah, I can't imagine them continuing to play at the pace they're playing at right now.
No, I don't think anybody can.
They've had some... I think some really, and this ultimately doesn't matter because you've played, 38 games and you're winning like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally the NBA would make up for some of this, and maybe last night's one of those. They've caught some teams at some really good times, but they've still plowed everybody. So it doesn't really matter to me because you're going to lose some of these, you would think, but they haven't. You know, like they just played Dallas. Well, the Dallas didn't have Luka nor Kyrie. Well, that's a good time to play Dallas. But that said, doesn't matter. You're still going to lose some of those, and the Cavs haven't. I would just be temper your disappointment, Cav fans, if the Cavs don't continue at the same pace they're on right now. Because it doesn't mean that they don't have the same opportunity to advance in the playoffs and do really well this year. I just don't think they'll continue to win at the pace they're winning at over the next 18, 20 games, something like that, Andy, and that's okay. I also don't think they'll continue to shoot the way they have been. I could be proven wrong on that one. But last night, just like, okay, well, there it was. There's that NBA game that jumped up and bit them. I wonder if, you know, they tinker a little bit with the roster. You know, we know that, you know, folks have told us they're still talking, they're still looking. Well, good, that's what they're supposed to do. And if you can trade some of your depth pieces and improve you know, if you can improve one spot in your rotation big time by moving two guys who are in your rotation but not starting for you, okay, you probably do that. And so just stay tuned. But don't be stunned if they don't continue to play at the level they're playing at right now. But don't freak out about that either.
I mean, they're even with a loss yesterday, they're playing at an 868 clip. Come on. I mean, kidding?
Oh, I know. They're playing great basketball. Man. They're playing great basketball. Eric is in Akron. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Good.
Jeff, I guess this question's aimed at you. I'm curious as to why you don't seem to think the Cavs can continue this. So the most impressive thing to me about this season really doesn't come from the record. It's the fact that they're averaging like 30 minutes a start for starters. Half the time, the starters aren't even in the fourth quarter. If you remember back to last year, we were gassed in the playoffs and injured and whatever else. I keep hearing this rotating narrative, oh, we're not as good as the Celtics, we're not as good as the Knicks, we're not as good as whoever. I think this is a
You haven't heard that from us, though.
That's true. I haven't heard that from you specifically, but
What I don't think they're going to do, Eric, is continue to win at the pace they're winning at right now. I think the schedule will catch up to them a little bit, and I think the grind of the NBA season, and they're shooting so well, I'd be hard-pressed to see that continuing. That said, I think they could still end up with the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, even with that. And then when you get into the playoffs, it's a different deal. And the points you made could help them big time in the playoffs.
And that's all I was trying to get at, is that they're rested this year. They don't have near the injuries. Heck, they sat Mitchell a couple nights ago just as a day off. Like, I think this Cavs team is much, much better than it was last year, and everybody's just dismissing it as a fluke, seemingly.
Oh, no, it's not a fluke. I agree with you. I thought the offense needed to improve, and Kenny Atkinson has improved the offense like crazy. My only point here, I don't expect them to go 33-5 in the next 68 games, or in the next 38 games. Maybe they do. I wouldn't expect it, but I also, if I'm a diehard Cavs fan, I'm not going to freak out about that, Eric. I wouldn't, because that's my point.
One loss to the Pacers doesn't mean much. I mean, no. It was ultimately exactly a nobody team, and they just beat Oklahoma City, which was a huge win in the national spotlight.
And let's they play see what they Indiana, do on Thursday. Oklahoma City coming up.
Yeah. See what they do Thursday night, too.
No, my point is this. I just don't think they're going to go 33-5 in the next 38 games. And that's okay. I mean, you could still end
up...
I'm
good if they go 500 in the next 18 games.
Right, you could still end up winning the East by 4 or 5 games. And that'd be great. But they've played so well. I think it's unrealistic to think that they're going to continue at that kind of a pace. Or to continue to shoot the ball the way they've shot the ball. But it's possible. I think the shooting's probably more possible than going 33-5 in the next 38 games.
Yeah, you know they're going to cool down. I mean, there are games you're like, I can't believe they just made that shot. How'd they do that? Wow, that guy was really wide open. Can't believe it wasn't covered. That's not going to happen
that's
all season.
But that's the offense. You know, the spacing and the offense has done some really good things for him. And that the ball movement, they've done a really nice job with that.
They have, but teams figure teams out after a while, too. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you have the talent to overcome their talent, then it won't make a difference, but... If you can schematically beat a team, then it might cause problems. Teams will learn some stuff about us along the way, and it's going to hurt us at some point. But I mean, your winning percentage is .868. You've lost, what, 2 games at home and 3 on the road. Come on now.
Come on now?
Come on.
Is that what you just said?
Yes. This is a damn good team.
Stay
healthy, my brothers. Stay healthy.
That's the point here. Just... You can't get to the playoffs soon enough, because I don't know. I don't think they have anything else to accomplish in the regular season, and you're not even halfway through it, Andy. See, that's tough for me. It's like, keep it fine-tuned, keep it moving, and see what you get, because they just played great basketball. I wonder how open the front office is going to be to tinkering with things.
I wouldn't.
I'd be hard-pressed to.
I wouldn't tinker with too much. You know, obviously you feel like you want to bring in a wing guy. I think everyone's been talking about that for months. And if you need to deviate some of the guys that you're not really seeing a whole lot of playing time, then to trade them, okay, knock it out. Knock it out. Get it done. I don't know how you can't I trust the front office right now. Don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
yeah, they put together a good team.
Let these guys do what they need to do. They do their job. We sit back. We watch this team have fun and enjoy the fact that we are watching drama-free basketball, because that's what it is, and it is a delight to not have to sit here every day and worry about, ooh, which guy's leaving next year? And, ooh, can they trade? Oh, this guy's not happy. Ooh. So tired of that. Like, if this
that
team
was a little
wanted,
Barney Rubble sound.
Yeah, there's a little Barney in there.
That was a little
if
Barney.
If this team could pull off a championship this year, it would be so sweet. So sweet.
Jamel White, former Browns running back, joining us next on Baskin and Phelps, and we'll ask Jamel about the running backs looking good in the first round of the playoffs. Is it a sign of something the Browns need to work on in the offseason? I say yes. We'll hear what Jamel says coming up.